on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our February 3rd, 2025 edition of InvestTalk, and yes, we are into the second trading month of the year. First one went by pretty fast, and the headlines just keep on coming from, you know, the trade war. We had the DeepSeek news, and in my world, since I'm a Laker fan, Laker season ticket holder of 17 years, we got Luka Doncic, so that's pretty crazy on our end. So, but you know, it's been a wild year already, and so we are here to really guide you in navigating these uncertain times and figuring out what matters, what truly will impact companies, sectors, and markets, and what is just headline, short-term nonsense, for lack of a better word. And that can be difficult, right? We have social media, we have, you know, traditional media, we have market moves all the time. And, you know, those headlines can bring both fear and greed and allow those to creep into your psyche. And our job here is to stop all that and focus on what the true impacts will be. And so we will guide you based on our market perspective, built with over 25 years now of market experience. And then we will answer your finance and investment questions. Make sure you have plenty of those. Okay. So that's job number one. So don't hesitate to reach out and give us a call. And in just a bit, we're going to talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for this hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Yes. My name is Nick. I'm from East Bay Area. My question is, what's a good price to pay for NVIDIA? Okay, thank you. Love your show. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. NVIDIA has had a huge run. Just for some perspective, a year and a half ago, fall of 2022. Okay. Fall of 2022. No, wait, that would be 2.5 years ago. Roughly a little over 2 years ago, call it. It was down at $10 split adjusted. And its recent high was over $150. And now we're at $116. I think this is the beginning of a corrective period for tech stocks in general and NVIDIA most of all. Because NVIDIA was, its hype and its move has been predicated on the fact that if you want to compete in AI, you are going to have to spend billions, tens of billions of dollars for the hardware. And if you want the best hardware, you need to go to NVIDIA. Well, what DeepSeek has proved, if they're to be believed, is that you don't necessarily need the best chips. You need good chips, but not the best chips, not the most state-of-the-art chips. And so the question is, do you just buy cheaper NVIDIA chips? Are the ones coming from Intel or AMD good enough? That's a question. And that's an increasingly more interesting question as time goes on. And when everyone's clamoring for your chips, there's a shortage, you can charge exorbitant prices and have very high margins. And that's likely to come off here. So what is the price for NVIDIA? I'm not sure quite yet. I can tell you where there's support levels. Let me give you that. So we've already tested the first support around 117. We've broken that. The next big support's around 98. But 81 is probably that first major support level. Now, once again, that's a support level. That's a technical level. That's all that is. If the fundamentals change drastically from where they are now, it's going to go well below that. If it's just a modest pullback, a slight adjustment in how the market perceives the need for NVIDIA chips, then that could be the bottom. If it's a major adjustment, which I think it will be, history says these names typically go down anywhere from 70 to 90% from their high. So 70% from its high, let's call it $150, you're talking about $45 per share. Would it shock me to get there? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That would be in the support region, around $45, $50 per share, where it kind of consolidated back in 2022. So, you know, I think there's more downside for NVIDIA and the AI chips. That's just history of these cycles. It's obviously a lot of people crowded into that trade. And I do think that the DeepSeek news was a watershed moment in the space, and expectations are just starting to be adjusted. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and we have many things to talk about, but our main focus point is how would a new BRICS currency affect the U.S. dollar and your investments? There's many countries around the world that are trying to reduce their reliance on the U.S. dollar and reshape the global financial system. And BRICS nations are just a handful of them. So we'll talk about their current progress in creating some sort of new reserve currency and what that might mean for your investments. In addition, we also want to touch on the tariffs. What does that mean for inflation? But also, one of the most important tariffs are going to be Canadian oil tariffs. There was some talk about it being exempt, Canadian oil being exempt from the tariffs, and they are to a degree. Instead of 25%, it's only 10%, but that still could have a large impact on oil prices domestically. So we'll talk about that. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll touch on how your portfolio is a bit less diversified than you think. Maybe a lot less diversified than you think. Okay. So we'll look at that story. We'll also get to your voice bank questions. One is on Nucor, as well as Tractor Supply TSCO. We also have some questions that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. But we're heading into a break. And on the other side, I'll touch briefly on today's market activity and then play more of your questions here on Invest Talk. My phone lines are open and waiting for you at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is made better when listeners add their voices.
My name is Robert, and I'm from Florida. Great show. I learned so much from just listening to you.
Hi, this is Susan from New Jersey. I'm calling about AXOA.
How much of the information that came out today on the whole AI play with DeepSeek and all that, how much of that information can you really trust?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
I am very much a person that does not trust Chinese data.
Net income is growing and margins are staying pretty steady.
Now let's go take a live call. Paul from Palm Desert.
Let's go to George from San Mateo, who has a question about index funds.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little. Call Invest Talk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Is that a good strategy or should I be looking at other things?
888-99-CHART.
Have you ever noticed that you can tell a lot about a person just by the kind of suit they wear? It's true. The best way to send the right message is with the perfect suit from Indochino. My experience has taught me that Indochino clothing has the look, feel, and fit I appreciate and have always wanted. Whether you are dressing for a special occasion or for office wear, Indochino offers custom suits at unbeatable prices. And if you're planning your big day, make it even more special with custom groom and groomsman looks from Indochino. Customize every detail to your measurements and your personal taste, including the fabric, lapel shape, buttons, and more, all at a fraction of what other companies charge. You can even choose to visit a showroom and work one-on-one with an expert style guide to get precisely measured.
Create your next headlining look with a custom suit from Indochino. Visit Indochino.com and use code INVEST to get 20% off any purchase of $499 or more. That's 20% off at Indochino.com. Promo code INVEST.
Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Dan in Walnut Creek asking about Southern Copper, SCCO, and he's listening on AM 1220 in the Bay Area. Do you own Southern Copper, or are you looking to buy it, Dan?
No, Justin, I've owned it in the past, and I was just going to buy some this morning. I thought I'd talk to you guys first, and of course, it went up 11% today. So, but it's been in a downtrend since October, so I thought it might be a good time to get in.
I'm not saying that it went up 11% today. Where are you seeing that?
No. Well,
I'm not seeing that.
Okay, well.
Yeah,
I'm driving now, so I can't.
I see it was down almost 2% today. But yeah, we've owned Southern Copper for our clients for a long time. We think it's the best run copper producer out there, large scale copper producer. If you look at its long term profitability, the quality of its mines, etc. And, you know, it's gone through this kind of corrective period since, when is this? May of last year. But, you know, it's, if you zoom out to a weekly or monthly chart, you know, it's still in a strong uptrend. It's actually at some pretty good long-term support right at the 100-week moving average. So I have no issue with it. Obviously, like I said, we still own it. Earnings this year are supposed to be up 58% year over year. Last quarter revenues were up 17%. Earnings were up 43%. And nice 2.3% dividend yield. So I have no issue with I think the demand for copper is still going to be very, very high in the future. And the supply, new supply coming on market is very, very low. So one of the reasons why we continue to be positioned for a longer term bull market in copper, even if the last handful of months has been a choppier pullback.
Okay, great. And I see what I mean. It didn't take all my, when I was typing in SCCO, I think I left something out. So
got
I bought
it.
Up a different stock.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, yeah. Thanks very much for your advice. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Dan. Let's go take another live call. Robert in Pleasanton looking at UPS, also listening on KDOW.
Hey, good afternoon, Justin. I know UPS has gotten hit with some pretty bad news lately with this whole Amazon situation, and the stock has corrected. I'm just wondering if you think this is an opportune time to start a position in that stock.
Yeah, actually, I do. You know, I think the Amazon news was something that the market's overreacting to. It wasn't a very profitable partnership in the first place, and they can redeploy those resources to become more efficient in the rest of their business. And so, it's just I think they're still in the process of reorganizing their priorities post COVID. You know, their demand for shipping was through the roof in 2020 and 2021, even into 2022. And, you know, since then, earnings have started to slope. Their peak in earnings was in 2022. And now earnings are back to roughly where they were, actually a little higher than they were pre-COVID. And obviously, stock is down significantly from its all-time high in 2021, around $230 per share. Now we're at 111. So you've already had that major correction. And I think I said this on the show last week was, pretty extreme volume last week. And that usually marks a capitulatory low, meaning all of the sellers are kind of out. Now, it does need to gain a little bit of momentum for me to get super excited and then say the turn is in. But that is one of those markers that make me, you know, pique my interest here and say, okay, maybe all the bad news is priced in to UPS, especially a business that is historically very, very profitable. And even based on, you know, next year's expected earnings of $8.90, you know, you're talking about a low teens multiple here. for a very, very quality business with a good balance sheet. And, you know, I don't think shipping is drastically going to change. I think we're just going through, once again, a corrective period. So from a long-term perspective, I do think UPS is attractive down at these levels. Thanks for the call. Let's take another live call. David from Fremont, and he has questions about profits. Also, once again, listening on KDOW AM 1220.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I listen to you guys. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Appreciate you calling.
My question is, I found a offer from a brokerage where they guarantee you 6.9% locked in with no possibility of losing your money in their special mixture. So my question is, can they guarantee that kind of money because they get special pricing?
Are you talking also at six? What are they? What did you say they're buying? What are they owning? Stocks, bonds, what?
They said it's a basket full of different corporate bonds.
Yeah. So what they're doing? So what they're doing is I'm not sure what the package here is. You'd have to give me a little more details, maybe off air, if you want to go to our website and submit something. We can kind of talk about it in more detail, but. All they're investing in is high yield bonds, and you can get high yield bonds yielding, you know, high sixes right now, pretty easily. So, odds are good that it's not guaranteed, although, you know, maybe you're locking in the yield, but you know, the safety of that money is probably not as guaranteed as you might hope. So I'd really have to look at this. So send me over any details that you have, and I can kind of look at it and give you the pros and cons. Thanks for the call. We have more to, we're moving to a break, and still to come, my focus point and more answers to your questions and a YouTube question as well. But give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Life in general can be chaotic, right? Especially if you have an e-commerce business. And that gets us to order fulfillment. Now, the good news, you can calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software solution that delivers, ShipStation. I can tell you this, it feels great to be able to save serious money on shipping expenses by taking advantage of industry-leading discounts. ShipStation is the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers while your e-commerce business enjoys discounts of up to 88% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates, and up to 90% on FedEx rates. ShipStation seamlessly integrates with the services and selling channels you already use, so you can manage orders on one easy dashboard. You'll ship more orders faster and automate your workflow to reduce human error and create 15 times more labels per hour. So, deliver a better customer experience with industry-leading, scalable features that help ensure accuracy and provide automated tracking updates with your company's branding. Calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software that delivers for you. Switch to ShipStation today. Go to ShipStation.com and use code INVEST to sign up for your free trial. That's ShipStation.com, code INVEST.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel.
Now let's go take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly red day overall. You have the NASDAQ down 1.2%, S&P down about 0.75%, and the Dow did the best, down only about 0.25%. Small caps definitely fared the worst on the back of the tariffs that were implemented over the weekend by the Trump administration, both on Canada, Mexico, and China. And it was mainly 25% on Mexico, 25% on China, 10%. Or sorry, 25% on Canada, 25% on Mexico, 10% on China. And it looks like midday there was some deal with Mexico in order for them to move some troops to the border and help with border protection and, you know, certainly some concessions. And that looks to have come off. Now, the Canada one, I think that's going to last a little bit longer because we're still not sure really what the Trump administration is going for outside of statehood, which to me seems like an extreme measure, like holding them hostage for their sovereignty in order to play ball economically. I just don't see that as anything that's going to move the needle. You know, the vast majority of Canadians don't want to become U.S. citizens. So we'll see what that looks like. But ultimately, the markets did close well off the lows. That's the positive, even though, you know, it was broadly in the red. And once again, that was probably because of the negotiations being settled around Mexico. Now, you had gold up nearly 1%. The dollar was up 0.5%. So despite a strong dollar, the gold prices continue to move higher just due to uncertainty and kind of what we're talking. We'll talk about our main focus point, which is increasing demand for gold abroad. Treasuries had what we call a bear flattener, and that basically is worries of a stagflationary environment. Stagflationary environment, short rates up, long rates down. And, you know, certainly the market doesn't like to see this. Crude oil actually was up 1% on the back of, you know, while the tariffs on Canada are 25%, and there was talk of exemptions around oil being from Canada. It's actually, there are tariffs. It's just going to be only 10% versus 25%. So that is a, as I'll talk about later, a big driver of supply for oil here domestically. And so that's what pushed those prices higher there. So, you know, first trading day of the week or the month, excuse me, was very interesting. And like I've said for about a week now, I expect February to be a bit more volatile. And a lot of the Mag 7 names were also down. It wasn't just about the tariffs. It was follow through on the DeepSeek news and AI and the poor performance out of the tech space. Tesla was down 5% on the day, NVIDIA down nearly 3%, Apple down over 3%. Meta was really the strong case, up 1.2% on the day. Google, Microsoft were down a little over 1%, and Amazon was roughly flat. And so that was the market today for February 3rd. 2025. Now, my main focus point concerns this topic. How would a new BRICS currency affect the US dollar? And this is something that everyone's been worried about to a degree and been talking about for a while. It's, you know, all of these BRICS nations, you're talking about Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And that's historically been the BRICS nations. Now, more and more countries are kind of joining them, especially those that are not fully aligned with the United States geopolitically. And talking about coming up with what they call a unit, that's an alternative to the US dollar. And it's mainly backed by gold. And this will allow nations to get around the SWIFT system and kind of neuter the United States' ability to impose economic sanctions on the rest of the world. And look what happened with Russia, right? With the Ukraine invasion, you know, we basically confiscated their treasuries and shut them off from the SWIFT system. Now they found their ways to export their oil and get the things they need and you know, probably cost them a little bit more, but you know, you just have to go an extra stop and export that to, you know, have India import it or some other country import it that isn't part of the sanctions and then secretly pass it along to Russia. And so that's what, you know, it's a step that they don't want to take, but, you know, there's some ways around it. But they rather have this alternative currency that is a way to circumvent these tariffs, not tariffs, but these sanctions. And so the big question here is, what will this do to the US dollar? Now, first off, it would be able to deter us from weaponizing the SWIFT system. And ultimately, this is more of a hope than actual reality. Everyone talks about it, but putting this in practice is very difficult. First off, you have tons of countries that are historically not aligned. China and Russia historically are not friends. They've been enemies for, you know, many times, many wars throughout history. And then you add the complexities of all these other countries. And And currently, the dollar is 96% of international trade, 74% of that in Asia, and 79% in the rest of the world. And so, and right now, the dollar is 88% of currency exchanges and 59% of all foreign currency reserves held by central banks. So this isn't something that's going to be easy to get off. And as we, after the break, I will get into more of this story and what it will mean for the U.S. dollar and your investments. But we're heading into a quick break. I'm ready for your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
At some point in just about everyone's life, there comes a time when you realize that having a trust and a will is very important for you and, yes, also for your family. But creating a trust and a will has long been a very slow and time-consuming process until now. Trust and Will has already helped hundreds of thousands of families put together their estate plans. You see, Trust and Will makes creating your will easy and affordable. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish. Reduce stress and save time for loved ones by having all your documents in one place and with bank-level encryption. I've been through this exercise, and I'll tell you that Trust and Will makes creating your will almost effortless. And if you have questions, live customer support is available by phone, chat, and email. Here's an important point. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So, uncomplicate the process with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/invest and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/invest.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, before the break, I was touching on the fact that the BRICS currency that everyone's talking about is, right now, it's more of a figment of everyone's imagination than reality. There's a lot of talk about it, but actually applying it is another story. Now, they're taking steps towards it, which I'll get to in a minute. But right now, even though not 100% of oil sales are in dollars anymore, it's still a very dollar-dominated global financial system. And there was a study by the Atlantic Council's Geoeconomic Center released in June of last year. It shows the U.S. dollar is far from being dethroned, right? Still the world's primary reserve currency. And it dominates reserve assets, trade invoicing, currency transactions globally. And that looks secure in the near and even medium term future. With that said, these entities are coming together and building different projects and trying to find a path forward that is different than the SWIFT system. Now, one is called Project M-Bridge, and this is under development and in the collaboration between the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, the Bank of Thailand, Digital Currency Institute of the People's Bank of China, and Central Bank of UAE. And Saudi Arabia also joined the project recently. And in June of last year, M-Bridge platform reached what is called MVP, Minimum Viable Product Stage. And this is built on the Ethereum platform. And so they're getting closer and closer to it. But I want to highlight a basic fact around what the unit, that's what they're calling this, the unit, right? Instead of the dollar, you know, what do you call this thing? What do you call this unit of account? Because that's what the dollar is, or any currency is, it's a unit of account. And that's why they're calling it the unit. And so it's backed 40% by gold and 60% by local currencies in the BRICS Union. So here's the long and short of it. The BRICS currency already exists. It's called gold. This is why gold has been so strong and remains strong, even up like I said today, nearly a percent, while the dollar index was up 0.5%. Because everything, including the dollar, is declining in relation to gold. Gold prices continue to power to new highs. And that's the ultimate story here. So if you want to make an adjustment based on this changing world order, geopolitical trends, gold is what is in demand and will likely increasingly be in demand. So everybody should have some exposure to gold in their portfolio based on these type of trends. And it doesn't necessarily have to just be gold. It can be silver. It can be other types of harder assets and commodities. And, you know, even real estate in these type of countries that will benefit once if a BRICS currency comes to fruition and is starting to be used. So that's the takeaway here. It doesn't mean the dollar is headed for hell in a handbasket in the short term or the medium term or even guaranteed in the long term. But things are changing and you have to adjust for that and you need to properly hedge for those changes. And really the best hedge, most stable, consistent hedge is definitely gold exposure. Now let's keep things moving and get a fresh question from the comment section over on the InvestTalk YouTube channel. And Killer Noel says, looking to get more financial sector exposure, wondering your take on FIHL, FIHL, there we go. This is Fidelis Insurance Holdings, provides security, specialty insurance and reinsurance products for property, energy, marine, and aviation industry. This went IPO back in 2023, so not a whole lot of trading history here, but you all know that I kind of like the insurance business overall. It's a boring business, but it tends to be a very profitable business. And this has been chopping sideways for about a year now. Earnings supposed to be $3.01 for full year 2024 once they finally publish Q4 earnings. Then you have this year's earnings expectations of $3.64, up 21%. Now, those estimates are coming down a bit, so that is a bit of a worry. But last quarter, revenues are up 20%, earnings up 19%. I like that, about 2.5% dividend yield. And it is at nice support here in the low teens. And if you go based on $16 of earnings, yeah, that's a pretty low multiple. So I do like that. You're talking about a mid-single digit multiple. Let me look at some other metrics because, you know, earnings are one thing. Earnings can be a bit deceiving. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Return on equity is 16%. Sorry, 19%. Return on invested capital is 16%. That's good. I like that. I'm going to give this one a modest thumbs up. You're talking about a market cap of $1.8 billion. So it's definitely a small cap name, definitely high risk, but I like the valuation. I like the profitability. I like the business that it's in, and it is at pretty good support. So I'm going to give Fidelis Insurance Holdings a thumbs up. This is InvestTalk. Thanks to you, we have now surpassed 60 million downloads in our history. So let's play another listener question now.
Hi, Duncan from New York. Thank you for all that you do. Looking at stock ticker Tractor Supply, TSCO. Looking at this for a couple of things. One, on your latest email that you sent out to all your listeners, you said to look heavy for consumer discretionary. So I decided to look into that. This is a consumer discretionary. Also seems like a medium cap. I also looked at a little bit of its fundamentals. I looked at it is profitable. Return on equity is 50%. Return on assets is 11. And just trying to look to see a good entry point or if this is actually a good idea. So thank you very much and have a great day.
All right. Looking at Tractor Supply, TSCO. And the first thing I love about your question is that you talked about profitability and they are very profitable. Like you said, return on equity, 50%. Roughly return on assets, 11%, return on invested capital, 27%. Those are all very robust profit numbers. You have free cash flow of $636 million, which is down from its all-time high in 2020, around $1.2 billion. But, you know, that was kind of a weird environment, 2020 through 2022. Now we're back to kind of where we were pre-COVID in the $500 to $600 million in free cash flow. So I think this is normal and what you should expect. And you have enterprise value around $30 billion. Now you said it's a more of a mid-cap. Now I would consider this large cap, not a mega cap, but a large cap company. And if you go on $600 million in free cash flow, that's about a 5% free cash flow yield. Pretty good. Not amazing, but pretty good. Enterprise value to EBITDA is around 21. Now that is near an all-time high. So it's trading at multiples that are much higher than historically. And that would be my first worry here, especially with earnings projections for this year and next year coming down. Still growing, but those estimates are coming down. And the growth remains very slow. Last quarter revenue was up 3%. Earnings were down 4%. I don't love that with those multiples that high. I would want to see something that's growing faster than it historically has. And that's just not the case here. Now, once again, it's a great business. It's a name you should absolutely have on your watch list. But I don't love the fact that it's trading at these multiples. But it's a good allocator of capital. It takes that cash flow, pays down debt, which it doesn't really have much of. It buys back shares. I like that. This is a good company. Every single person should have it on your watch list. We've owned this company before for clients. And it's on our watch list. However, I would not buy it right now. Let me give you a number here. And the momentum slowed. You zoom out to a weekly chart. This has really just been chopping sideways since early last summer, late last spring. And you're starting to see the MACD really decline here. And so I would need this to get back into the high 30s, low 40s for me to get excited about it. In that area, I would absolutely, be picking up Tractor Supply. So I love what you're looking at. I would just be very patient on it. Thanks for the call. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's talk about tariffs. That was the big news over the weekend. And the big question is this just meant to provoke concessions? From the other side. And you've seen that with Mexico already. But the solution with Canada is a bit more complex. What are we getting out of this, right? What's the point here? Because there's next to no fentanyl being smuggled from Canada. And we're heavily reliant on their oil, which now is a 10% tariff on. And I'm just not sure what this part of the plan really looks like. And if tariffs are sustained, we know that it's going to hit growth a bit. It's going to increase inflation a bit and reduce the probability of rate cuts going forward. It may increase tax revenue. That would probably be the positive here. But it would keep the dollar rising and likely continue to hurt equities. And that's one thing you have to understand about this is that the market is very sensitive now. It looks forward, I think, less than it ever has because liquidity is so important to the dynamics of market moves. And so when things like tariffs shrink the amount of trade that's happening and dollars that are in the system due to that trade, you see declining asset prices. You saw it in 2018. Do you remember in Christmas of 2018, when there was a big drop in equity prices? And there was a combination of factors here. But the main part of that was the fact that tariffs, which still remain in place today, were adjusting the liquidity in markets. And so I could see something similar to that, where this is a catalyst for a consistent downtrend in markets. And today could just be the start of it. And there will be headlines, volatility around those headlines. You see that once again with Mexico coming into some sort of a resolution here. And there'll be rumors of Canada coming to a resolution to deal with China, et cetera. But then that'll probably be followed up with new tariffs on Europe and et cetera. So that's why I've said going into this year, this is a much more volatile environment that you should expect. And that can mean both directions, right? Could we have a 15% sell-off in equities followed by a 20% rally in equities? I think that's very easy to see. But the big question with these tariffs is to do with oil. Canada's oil was 55% of all U.S. imports, oil imports last year, and 23% of total U.S. oil consumption. And what this is here is our refineries have been designed to process the type of cheap, dirtier oil that typically comes out of Canada and Canada's oil sands. You have tons of pipelines that have already been in place to move this oil. And it's going to take a lot of shift in infrastructure, which means a lot of money, a lot of CapEx, in order to create the refining capacity to handle different types of oil than from China. Sorry, than from Canada. Canada accounts for more than half of total U.S. crude oil imports because Canadian crude oil is heavier and is structurally cheaper, like I said. And they've spent decades, refineries have spent decades investing in technologies to process it. And so this is going to be felt not just by the consumer, but by industrial companies, trucking companies, those that utilize this energy source. And ultimately, that is inflationary. And so I think that will be very interesting to see how bad this is going to be for these companies, how long this will last, because that's the curveball here. If you look at the betting markets, there's a better than 50% chance that by May, these tariffs will be lifted to some degree. Now, I remember looking a couple days ago, and there's a higher chance that Mexican tariffs would be lifted before the Canadian ones. And you've seen that come to fruition. But I don't think this Canadian one is going to be resolved anytime soon if their end goal here is to remove sovereignty from Canada and make them our 51st state. So I expect this to certainly have an impact on inflation, on energy prices, on the consumer, et cetera, the longer this stays in place. So I wanted to cover that because that was the big news. And that ultimately is, this is negative for asset markets in the short term. But know that the uncertainty around when it could be lifted is the biggest curveball in markets that I've seen in a while. Now we're moving into a break. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
Okay. So you have a website, and managing that website is just one of your responsibilities, right? So website security is not another job you need to worry about. Enter Kinsta. Founded in 2013, Kinsta is a hosting service dedicated to delivering exceptional speed, security, and reliability to businesses that depend on WordPress websites. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security to protect customers' sites and data. In fact, Kinsta is one of the very few hosting companies dedicated to WordPress with certifications that guarantee the highest level of security for a website. Kinsta offers other benefits too, like faster speed, up to 200% faster. Kinsta has an intuitive custom dashboard called MyKinsta that makes managing a site or multiple sites a breeze. Plus, Kinsta gives you unmatched human-only customer support, while many other hosting services stick you with an automated, GPT-based support chat. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit kinsta.com to get this limited-time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
This is InvestTalk. Please tell your friends and family members that they can download our weekday podcast for free anytime at investtalk.com or iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And when you download and listen, please be sure to rate our podcasts. Our anytime listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
going on, Luke and Justin? This is Nick from Long Island, New York. Love the show. Just wanted to call and ask you, I was considering opening a position in either, I was looking at CEG, Constellation Energy Group. I was also looking at Microsoft. Looked like it was down pretty decent today. Just curious what your thoughts are on both companies. I know that there was some news recently about them actually sort of, I guess, collaborating, working together, CEG providing energy for their data centers. CEG was down pretty big the other day on the news about, and I don't remember what it was again, the AI company that you guys were talking about a couple of days ago. But anyway, just wanted to see what your thoughts are on these two companies and opening positions in them, one versus the other. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Are we looking at two names, Constellation Energy and Microsoft? Two very different types of names, but going up for very similar reasons. AI hype. And Constellation Energy provides power, natural gas, and renewable energy management products and services in the United States. So it's all about power in these AI data centers. And, you know, I don't need to tell everyone else what Microsoft does, but they obviously have a stake in OpenAI and are aligned with, you know, ChatGPT. And now, so the whole DeepSeek news kind of throws a wrench in both names, and at least the narrative around about why both names are going up. But then the question is, which one is, you know, more in peril? You know, that's a tough question here. I settle back more on who has a better business, and I would say that's Microsoft. And Microsoft's trading at a cheaper multiple to earnings and cash flow. So Constellation Energy has gone up a ton, but yeah, they're working together, but those are one-off projects. And, you know, Microsoft has just a better equity stake in the AI race with OpenAI, and obviously has a traditional business of providing software to businesses with, you know, very high profit margins. And Constellation Energy is good, right? You look at return equity around 24%, but that's way higher than historically. Historically, their return equity is closer to high single digits, you know, low teens. So I don't love that. You're talking about a enterprise value to EBITDA around 23. Once again, near its highest price it's or multiple it's traded at. Whereas you go over to Microsoft, it's also not cheap, that's for sure. But return equity 34%, return invested capital 28%, similar enterprise value to EBITDA. But once again, growing at a better pace, and I think their business is more sustainable than Constellation. So, you know, both I think are going to be under near term pressure. So neither I get excited about buying right now, because as I said at the top of the show, I think we're just starting a shift in narrative around AI, and so both I'd put on the back burner. But if I was going to buy one or the other, it would definitely be Microsoft. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's touch a bit on portfolio diversification. And there's the old adage, a diversified portfolio has having the same returns as a concentrated one with less risk. That's what you can create by having diversification. And this was pioneered by Harry Markowitz back in the 1950s. And look back in history and you've seen times where portfolios get overly concentrated. Even in the early 20th century, when, you know, the United States was an emerging market. European investors had a ton of money abroad. French and German portfolios, on average, back then, allocated a third or half to foreign markets. And so they saw the benefits of growth overseas, but also diversification. And today, it's even easier to gain access to foreign investments, investments that give you exposure to a wider range of companies simply by buying ETFs, mutual funds, etc. So building a portfolio with a lot of different assets has become easy. But finding ones that are inversely correlated and create true diversification are much, much harder. In the 70s, before reglobalization of finance, average correlation between different indices around the world was 0.37%. 0.37. One means they're perfectly correlated. Okay. Today, or as of 2021, it was at 0.75. So over doubled its correlation because markets are increasingly becoming, once again, more correlated. So don't think that just because you own a lot of different indices or a lot of different companies that you're instantly diversified. You have to understand their true correlation. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics, if your strategy is right for your particular goals, your risk tolerance level, and build you out a full financial plan if you would like, by heading over to investtalk.com and scheduling a portfolio review with me via Zoom. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk, Janae.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.